Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here.
Yes, it is.
Now, always when you have a special speaker, they talk before they preach. Why do they do that? They're nervous. Okay. And I've had some wonderful time with your pastor and family. Since yesterday about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and we just been talking God, people, church, preaching, all of that stuff that we do. And I want to talk about them just a little bit, and I want to talk about you, and I want to talk about this church and God's plan for the future of this church. What do you know about it? I know a whole lot about it. God has a plan for this church. You're going somewhere. You're going somewhere. You've got some things going. God is using you. He's going to continue to use you. Stay together. You are a corporate body designed to be the Lord's team. And He's going to reach this whole territory through you. Praise the Lord. I love you, Pastor, and his family. I want to say something about this pastor and his wife. God has given them the vision for this area. Follow them in that vision. You are doing that. And He has given them the burden for you and for everybody they can come in contact with. And unless God gives that vision and burden, it doesn't exist. But it exists here. And they've got the right thing going. And I observed you worshiping this morning. The worship team was they're just so great. And I was inspired by this drummer. If I can preach as good as he drums, we're going to have church. Yeah. I couldn't get into it for watching him. Inspiration. But it didn't stop up here. You all worshiped. I like that. The Lord likes that. Time of worship. Praise God. And so we're worshiping the Lord. I'm totally relaxed. I'm more relaxed than I've been in a number of months. It's been a difficult struggle for me since I lost my sweetheart of 64 years. But the Lord has helped me. And I'm here fulfilling His will, His call on my life. You know, the calling He put on me didn't retire at 65. People ask me, are you retired? I say, I'm self-employed. I'm still preaching. Well, I'm too young to retire. I'm not quite 84 yet. God don't care how old you are. It's how busy you are that He's concerned about. Amen. Now, I am a motivator. I'm not an evangelist, but everything God does is so full of evangelism. If there's anybody within the hearing of the message, there's enough power there to save them 10 times if they needed that, but they only need one. But I'm a motivator. My message is to God's people. My burden is for God's people to motivate us. Well, where does evangelism come in? When God gets us motivated, evangelism will happen in a great sense. Amen. That's what it's all about. Now, following the message, there will be a challenge to you for a new commitment. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I make one every day. And it don't hurt me. And I've designed some cards. Call it the prayer benefit card. Now for those that respond to the challenge this morning for prayer, I want you to take one of these cards and I want you to fill it out. A prayer benefit card I received from the Lord the following. That means in this service today. I'd like to know what God done for you. I'm not too good at guessing. And besides, when I make my monthly reports to the international offices in Cleveland, Tennessee, I'd like for Cleveland to know that God is doing something out here among us in the Pacific Northwest here in this city. Praise God. And so if you take one of them, I'll have someone to give them to you. Make sure it gives them to you that respond this morning. Pastor will get them. If what you want to say about yourself is not listed on here, there's a whole open back space. You can write it full. But tell me what happened to you, because I want to know what God is doing for you, because I'll be gone. Now, your pastor will be here, and he can figure it out what happened to you, and he can see how it's affecting you. But I'll be gone somewhere else. And after this fulfills my appointments that I have at this particular date here in the Pacific Northwest, and I'm going to California in June, the middle of June, and I'll be there 6 or 7 weeks ministering in churches there. But I will be back. I'm not going to move to California. I'm Pacific Northwest. Amen. I'm here. And it's been about 3 years since we've been here and ministered to the group. My wife and I were sent by the overseer to check these folks out when they came to the Church of God. Amen. And we came and checked them out, worshiped with them, preached, had a great time. Then they called us back and had us back a little bit later. It's been about 3 years since we've been here. But there's a lot of people whose faces I didn't see at that time, because God is growing the church. Amen. Amen. Yes. Gary and Mandy Eklund are longtime friends of ours, about that long. And we had a crusade here with them before they went to Guam and worked with servicemen over there. Of course, they'd been in that ministry before, but we're glad that they're back. We're glad that they're back. Aren't we glad to have Gary and Mandy? Yeah. If you will continue to follow this pastor and his wife, let me say something about the wife. The pastor is more visible than she is, but she's as equally important as he is. She carries your burden like he does. And what she does the best is take care of him. Okay? They are a team that God has designed, and they're both equally important to you. Take good care of them. Don't let them get away. God has something going on here. Okay, I'm about through talking now. I'm getting ready to preach. Praise the Lord. How many will preach with me? Praise God. All right. If you want to turn with me in the scriptures, you can turn to Joshua 14, beginning at verse number 6 for the message I want to share with you today. And through prayer, God has laid on my heart this message that I've entitled, or he entitled, Give Me This Mountain. Give me this mountain. Now, in the early church, Moses' day, there were 3 old men leading God's people. Moses was the senior pastor. Joshua was the associate pastor. Caleb was a layman. Just a layman. Well, don't go just a layman. If you're a layman, you're a layman. You belong to the Lord. And he's called you to follow the leaders that he has appointed for you, and he will bless you as a corporate team. Praise God. And I'll tell you something about the Lord's team. He don't have any bench to call from. He puts everybody in the game. That okay? Amen. All right. Joshua, and of course I have a printout that's enlarged that I can see it better. Joshua 14, beginning verse number 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am, this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spake in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Father, we ask you this morning for your anointing in a powerful way, that you would anoint your word to our heart, that the word would come alive. We know the letter kills, but the spirit maketh alive. And your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Thy word brings life because it is the living word. Let your anointing fall upon it. Let your anointing fall upon this your servant, this your least of your servants, Lord, that your anointing may fall upon me, for the anointing brings alive. Lord, and most of all, let your anointing fall upon your people today. Let every person here be anointed by the presence of the Holy Ghost, and sense your presence in such a wonderful way that we'll leave here being empowered and encouraged and motivated, Lord, by your presence with us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen, and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Before we go any farther in the message, tell someone near you, I'm glad you came today. The preacher needs to be primed once in a while. So. Jesus talked about the mountain, and I'm going to share with you what he said. In Matthew 17:20. In Matthew 21:22, Mark 11:23. Three times in the gospel, Jesus talked about the mountain. But here's what he said about the mountain. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, believe in your heart and doubt not, and it shall be done. Now the mountain that, that Caleb wanted to possess was rocks and dirt. But the mountain that Jesus was talking about wasn't rocks and dirt. However, I'll get the cart before the horse a little bit. In Caleb's mountain also, when they conquered it, they didn't move any rocks and dirt. It was something that was within. Now I want you to identify with Caleb today. Identify with him today. Think about the mountains that you have dealt with that have been there, some of them a long time. Now Caleb said, 45 years ago, Moses said, he gave me the word of God. He said, you can have Hebron as a possession. 45 years, Caleb had been waiting. Not just sat around twiddling his thumbs, but every day saying, thank you, Lord, for giving me the mountain. Now, we have some mountains. They're emotional. They're within us. They're not rocks and dirt. And they won't be moved with a shovel. But I'll tell you, I believe God has ordained this day today to move some mountains for us. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to identify with it. And just like I said, there will be a challenge for a new response, a new commitment on your part. I want to encourage you to respond to it because God has something He's going to give you today. He's brought you a long way. He's got you going the right direction. He's going to give you three steps more if you'll respond to the challenge of the message and His word today. And you will bring your mountain and let the Lord take care of it for you. He's in a mountain moving business. Can you say amen to that? I am a motivator. I'm not an evangelist. But if God can get all of us motivated, oh, how much evangelism we'll do. You're doing good. I like the ministries that I see that's in operation. God has given you a leader that is going somewhere. He's not settling around twiddling his thumbs, and his wife is taking care of him, encouraging him. You know, someone said recently said, well, your wife was half of your ministry. I said she was three-fourths of it. Hello? Okay. She don't get the recognition. She don't get the visibility. She's not seeking for it. But listen, you take care of her, too. Take care of her. Ladies, take care of her. Amen. She's got a big job taking care of her pastor. I don't know. He might be a crybaby. I said that to say this. Moses was the biggest crybaby in the Bible, but the most successful pastor. He cried to God with everything that he had, so he's probably a crybaby. I'm a crybaby. I cry to the Lord. I do it daily. I keep in touch with him. Say, Lord, you know I'm not able to do anything without you. And I'm sure that I know that I'm not able to do anything without you. Okay, so much for that. Let me get back into the message. Now, Caleb saw his mountain when he was 40 years old. That was 45 years before this day in our scripture setting. And 45 years he had been wrestling with that mountain. Caleb had been believing for 45 years that he would someday conquer his mountain. If you've been struggling with a mountain that has been tall before you and defiant daily, don't give up. Don't move an inch. Hang in there. The Lord is with you. He knows all about the mountain. Caleb might have thought at times, God, do you know anything about my mountain? If he did say that, God could have said, yep, I've got my eye on it. Amen. I've got my eye on it. We're going to conquer it. I already said you could have this mountain. Praise the Lord. Caleb had been believing for 45 years, a long time. Don't give up on those things you've been praying about. Don't give up on those things you've been asking God about. Don't give up on those things that you've been struggling with. He didn't call us to ride through on cloud nine and sing and dance all the way. But thanks God, he gives us some sing and dance in our worship times. And the times that we worship him and worship together. And the times that we work hand in hand together in the work of the Lord. God has got some great things for you ahead. Stay on the wagon. Don't fall off the wagon. Work with those whom God has given you in leadership, and you will find that God has a plan and you are part of it. Amen. Yeah. Caleb had possibly conquered that mountain many times in his mind. Yeah. I believe he had. See, did he think about it all those 45 years? According to what he said, he did. He said 45 years ago, Moses, with the word of God, said that I could have Hebron as my possession. And he said, I still want it. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Hallelujah. Caleb had a daily awareness that this mountain defied him. And you might have had some mountains and have some mountains that have defied you daily. And you wondered if it was ever going to come to pass, ever going to happen. I want you to know God is still in business. He has a plan. Those that say God is dead, I want to give him a message. He's not even sick. Okay? Amen. God is still alive. He's still in business. He's still in business with us. He has still chosen us to do a work for him, and he will bless everything that we put our hands to. Hallelujah. Keep on worshiping. Keep on working. Keep on going for the Lord. It'll cost you something, but oh, it'll pay big dividends. Amen. Caleb's vision for his mountain was not of a massive, unconquerable hunk of rock. No, the mountain that he struggled with wasn't rocks and dirt. It was in here. And I just kind of want to believe that's what Jesus was talking about when he said, you can say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. Believe in your heart and doubt not, and it shall be done. Okay, that mountain I've been struggling with. Listen, today is the time. Just like I said, I'm a motivator. I don't say that boastfully, but I want you to understand, I'm a motivator. That's my message. That's my heart. That's my burden. I love God's people. I love those who are in leadership and those who haven't come to be recognized as a leader. But God chose you to be a leader when He chose you and wrote your name in His book. So get ready to lead. God has something for you to do. Hallelujah. Caleb was ever been as important in God's work as Moses and Joshua were. Oh, I would like to be a preacher. I'll tell you what. If God hadn't called you to do it, you better leave it alone. Grandma can't call you to be a preacher and make it work. All due respect to Grandma. Wonderful grandmas and mothers. But I'll tell you what. God has called you to do something. If you're not sure what it is, find out. Because He's talented you and gifted you to do certain things. And you can do certain things better than others. Now, I've got a son who can, he's always been able, since he's a little big guy, he can sit down at a piano, and if he's heard a tune, he could pick it out. He's retiring now as a teacher. Art and drama. The professional artist tell him, you're a professional artist, that's what you ought to do. He said, no, I'm a school teacher. I know my calling. My stick man looks like he's crippled. I don't have that talent. But I'm a carpenter by trade. I can build a house. I'm mechanical. I can build a car. In fact, I'm completing my second Model A now. Give me another week and I'll have it going and be driving it. My wife was talented with a crochet needle. She crochets so fast you couldn't tell what she's doing. Of course, I didn't know what she's doing anyway except crocheting. She was just working one day and she said, I wish I had talents like other people. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm crocheting. I said, isn't that a talent? She said, well, yeah, I guess it is. She's made hundreds of baby sets and given them away to young women having babies, baby girls. She's made for baby girls, not for boys. She's made hundreds, maybe thousands of centerpieces and that kind of stuff and give them away to girls and women. She never sold them. I can't crochet a dolly, but I can build a house. I'm not good at art, and I don't have musical talent. But I'm not without talent, and neither are you.
That's right.
You've got talents, and God has given you the kind of gifts that you can fill a certain spot. You can do some things that someone else can't do, and you can do some things that someone else can't do them as well as you can do them. God has given you talents and gifts. He's got ministry for you, and He's going to use you. It's a team. He puts you together. Praise God. It's a corporate thing. Hallelujah. It's a corporate thing. He's got a team for you to be a part of. And you know what? The rest of the team will love you, and they'll give you the ball and let you shoot goals when they're double-teamed. Hello? Okay. That's all right. Yeah. And your team will win the game. And it wasn't a superstar that made the final goal. It was one of you that didn't think you was a superstar. But I want you to know when the Lord chose you, He chose a superstar. Oh, the Holy Spirit is all over this place this morning. Glory to God. I asked the Lord to let me feel you this morning. I feel it. Hallelujah. He is here. He is here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's got something for you to do. And He's working with you. And He's going to help you. And He's going to bless what you put your hands to. If you'll keep your attitude right. Now, this is not in my notes, but this is in my heart. If you'll keep your attitude right. Attitude is one of the most important things that you can have. You're in charge there. God does not give you a good attitude. He just gives you a good spirit and fills you with love. It's up to you to build an attitude that's good and acceptable.
Amen.
You're in charge of your attitude. And your attitude, what makes a difference? Ministry is not songs and sermons and stuff, even though that's part of the process. It's relationships. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to build relationships with others. You know, when I go into the store and buy something, I always tell the clerk when I get ready to leave, thank you, keep up the good work. They like that. I've never found one that didn't like it. Amen. Never found one that didn't like it. Because so many people come in and fuss about, oh yeah, shut up. Get your attitude right. Amen. And impress people. Make a friend. And the places where I shop, they're glad to see me coming. I'm glad to see you coming. Now, they don't know how much I hurt because I really miss my sweetheart, you know. And I say, I was always a tough guy, but I've spent a lot of time crying since my sweetheart passed along. But I haven't blamed God for that. You know, that's a process of life. And one of these days I'm going to join her. And I got a place right next to hers in the cemetery where they'll lay my old body. But immediately when my life is over, the spirit will return to God who gave it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know where my journey has taken me. And I know that the Lord has me covered. Past, present, and future. And He has you covered. He's got my past covered. There's some of it I'd like to change if I could. But it's history. You can't change history. You can deny it, but it's still there. You can't get rid of it. You can try to give it away, but everybody else has their own past. They don't want yours. Okay? What am I going to do with it? The Lord said, give it to me. What you going to do with it? Well, I'm going to take it out in the ocean. I'm going to find the deepest spot. Your old past that you can't do anything about. Give it to Him. I'm going to take it out in the ocean. I'm going to find the deepest spot. I'm going to go right down to the bottom, however far that is. And then I'm going to dig. And He didn't tell us how far He's going to dig, but He said He's going to bury it. 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 Then He said, I'm going to turn my back and I'm not going to remember it anymore. It's taken care of. The Lord has your old unfortunate past covered. And if you've been struggling with it, give it to Him. Let Him take it out in the ocean and bury it in the deepest spot in the ocean and turn His back and go away from it, never to be remembered anymore. You mean I won't remember it? No, He won't remember it. Hallelujah. You remember it, then that'll keep you from doing it again. Amen. I don't think this is in my outline either, but it's in my heart. Amen. Well, okay. Then what happens when He takes care of that old ugly past? He got something good for you now. Peace. My peace I give unto you. Talk about peace, and the world is don't have any peace. But those who find Jesus, He said, my peace I give unto you. Hallelujah. For once in your life, you now have peace. And then, when you're at peace, joy comes in. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord comes in. Hallelujah. He said that your joy might be full and my joy might remain in you. Okay, and so what we got to run on after we give Him that old ugly past is we've got peace and joy. Amen. Why those Christians, they don't have anything. How can they be so happy? Oh, they have something that you can't see. They have joy and peace. Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, that isn't as far as it goes. One of these days, we're going to leave this world. Amen. They're going to plant our body. And our spirit's going to go to God. Amen. He's got our future covered. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Hallelujah. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Don't sweat it. He's got you covered past, present, and future. Oh, the Lord is in this place. I feel the Holy Spirit all over me this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Caleb's vision of his mountain was not of a massive, unconquerable hunk of rock. It was a vision of getting his mountain conquered and having the satisfaction here. He was an old man. I keep reminding the Lord that I'm an old man, and I'm confident I don't have a whole lot of time left. But you know what? What time I got left, I'm going to keep on preaching every opportunity the Lord gives me. And if He gives me strength and health to do it, not many my age are still doing anything constructive. But oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for using the old man. I don't want to be a novelty. And I tell pastors, don't schedule me to come to your church as a novelty, as the old man, so your people can see that the old man can still preach. Can the old man still preach? He can if he can still get the anointing of the Lord on him. And if, amen. If he's still got the calling of God. Listen, you folks that are senior adults, God hadn't put you on a shelf. That's right. And I don't tell people I'm retired. I say I'm self-employed. Yep. I don't want to put me on a shelf because God don't have any shelves.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm about to get excited. Huh? I'm not too old to get excited. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me see now. Okay, Caleb never lost sight of the God that is bigger than his mountain. And don't you lose sight of the God that is bigger than your mountain. Oftentimes that mountain is family members. We're so concerned that they get saved. I don't think they're ever going to respond. They're so full of the world. Well, you was full of the world too until the Lord got a hold of you.
Yeah.
And I was full of the Lord, too, until the Lord got a hold of me. You know, I worked for Boeing Aircraft in Wichita, Kansas, where they build all the military stuff. 4 years before I became a Christian. I was the chiefest among the dirty storytellers and all that, you know. I went home on Friday night from work, come back Monday morning and told the guys I got saved Sunday night. I got saved Sunday night. I got saved.
Yeah.
One of them said, I've heard that before. It'll last about 6 months. That was February the 3rd, 1952. My 6 months is not up yet. Okay? Hallelujah. God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
My 6 months is not up yet.
All right.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Well, Caleb never lost sight of the God that is bigger than his mountain. The unconquered mountain must have taunted Caleb constantly. Because he struggled with it for 45 years. Yeah, he did. Don't think for a minute God's not going to answer the serious prayers that you've prayed. It may be a while. But he still got them in his heart. He's going to give you some answers. And you know what? Martha and Mary said, Jesus, too late. 4 days late. I'll tell you, if it seems that he's 4 days late, 4 months late, 4 years late, he's still on time.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And he still heard you. Now, his servant Daniel, trying to get a prayer through. Fasting and praying. I thought about it recently and I said, well, Lord, I could pray for 21 days. I think fasting for 21 days would be difficult. Someone told me years ago, said, if God puts a fast on you, you won't get hungry.
Right.
Evidently, God never put one on me, though I've done some fasting. It's a sacrifice. But Daniel was fasting and praying 21 days. Finally, the answer came through. Said, oh, Dan, heard you the first time. But the adversary hindered the answer. But I'll tell you, God hadn't forgotten your prayer. He hadn't forgot your burden. He hadn't forgot about your mountain. He hasn't forgot about you. because he chose you to be his partner. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Amen. He chose you. He not only chose you, he recorded it. He wrote your name in his book. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, people ask me sometimes, well, what does RJ stand for? Robert Joseph. I'm one of them Robert. Whoopi Goldberg says all white guys are named Bob. Well, she's a comedian. And she's a good one, too. She's a good one. I like her. But, you know, the Lord has never gotten me mixed up with any of the other Bobs. He knows which one I am. And he knows exactly who you are. And which one you are, and where you are, and where you live, and what your burdens are, and what your prayers are, and what your concerns are, and what your needs are. He knows all about you. He hasn't lost you in the crowd. No, he hasn't, praise God. And he didn't save you in a crowd. He saved you one-on-one. My wife and I were saved in the same service, a little Pentecostal church on the west side of Wichita, Kansas. I didn't know she was in the altar. Because I hit the altar, I was ready to go. I said, I'm going to the altar. You can do what you want to. Well, I knew she had already decided she was going to do what she wanted to. But two steps behind me, she hit the other altar, and we both got saved there. You know what happened in heaven? They had two birthday parties. The angels in heaven rejoiced over one sinner that repented. They didn't have a birthday party for the couple. They had two birthday parties for the individuals. God in heaven called his angels together and say, we got another one. We've written her name in the book. Let's have a party. Hallelujah. You've already been celebrated in heaven. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Glory. And he knows about your burden. He knows about your mountain. And he's going to do something about it this morning when you bring it to him and say, now therefore give me this mountain.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
The unconquered mountain must have taunted Caleb constantly. It just stood there. Didn't go away. Didn't move. Didn't tremble. Not at all. It tried Caleb's patience. It tested his breaking point. And the mountain just kept on standing. And at times, Caleb might have said, God, did you forget about this deal? God surely said, I've got a plan working, Caleb. I've got a plan working. Just hold on, boy. We're going to have victory. It tried Caleb's patience. It tested his breaking point, like your burden and your mountain may have done to you over and over. Caleb never lost confidence in the promise of his God. Not one time. God is still God. You don't have to worry about him quitting on you. He ain't gonna quit. You don't quit. And together you will make it. Hallelujah. He called you into partnership with him, and there ain't nothing that can stop him. Caleb never felt alarm because he knew the battle was the Lord's, and he, Caleb, had been promised the victory.
Yeah.
Well, have I been promised the victory?
Yeah.
Yes, you have. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll go with you even unto the end of the world.
Amen.
Victory is on the way.
Yeah.
If you'll stay faithful, keep following the leadership that God has given you and anointed. You're going to see great things happen here in this area.
Thank you, Lord.
You're going to see a lot of evangelism happen. You are. You're going to see it happen because God has a plan. And God has given you leaders that he has given a vision and he's given a burden for you. Well, I'd like to be pastor. Well, it might be like the fictitious story that was told, said, one guy said, God said to him, said, I want you to take over for a month. I'm going to take a vacation. And when God got back, he said, how did it go? He said, I'm glad you're back. I couldn't please anybody. Amen. Okay, that was a joke. Okay. I'm glad you're back. I can please anybody. Well, just anybody could do what the pastor's doing. No, they couldn't. Only those who are called can do what God has called them to do. There are some of the greatest lay people in the world. Some of them are right here.
Amen.
God hasn't called you to be the pastor, but He's called you to follow the direction that He gives the pastor. He will give His vision and His burden always to those who He has chosen for leadership. And if there's any other visions or burdens that comes along that don't agree with that, it don't belong to this church.
Amen.
Any burden and vision that He gives you will agree with the burden and vision that He's given the pastor.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know what? He loves you.
Yes.
He talked about it. We just talked. I've done a lot of listening. See, if I'm talking, I'm saying something I already know. If I'm listening, I might learn something new. And I listened all afternoon yesterday, this pastor talk. You've got a great leader. Well, he does something different then. Well, he is different.
Amen. Yes.
But the basic principles are the same. Hello.
Yes.
When the Lord, through the overseer, sent me and my wife over here to see about these folks. They've come in the Church of God with their group to see about them. Come over and look them over. I've still got a copy of my report that I wrote. Wrote back to the overseer and said, they're keepers. Don't let them get away. Amen. Amen. They're keepers. Don't let them get away. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. That probably wasn't in my notes, but anyway, I'll get back to my notes. That was all right.
Yeah.
Caleb never lost confidence in himself either. You don't want to get overconfident in yourself and think that you can do it on your own. Now, that's a different situation. But he never lost confidence that he could do what God wanted him to do. Don't lose that confidence. The devil will tell you, you ain't no good. The devil will tell you, you can't do it. You can't accomplish anything. Nobody will listen to you. It's a bunch of lies. Don't pay any attention to him. Praise God. You've got something to give. Give it. It'll work. Well, you know, and it's the word. When you share His word and His plan with someone, well, now, if I could get you to go down and let the preacher preach to you some, no, you don't have to do that. If you get them saved, they'll come and hear the preacher, okay? That's all right. They will. But the word through your mouth is as powerful as it is through the pastor's mouth.
Yes.
The word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It will do the job because it has life and it can give life and it will give life. I couldn't win anybody to the Lord. Sure you could. Just tell them Jesus saved. You know what people want to hear? They want to hear how your life changed, how you got it, what happened to you. That's what they want to hear. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest preachers of the New Testament, he got his greatest opportunity to preach to the king and queen. You know what he did? He gave them his testimony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And the king trembled and he said, you've almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Your testimony. Is it scriptural? I want to give you some scripture. Jesus said, after you receive the Holy Ghost, you will have power. And you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth. And listen, folks, you're a Pentecostal church. Don't be afraid to be Pentecostal. Oh, we don't want to scare anybody off. What God does is not going to scare anybody. Tonight I got saved. You know, my wife growed up in a Pentecostal church. And I just growed up. Why God called me to preach, I don't know. I was the most unlikely prospect. But I know that He called me. But I was saved under Pentecostal church and born in the fire. That's why I like what I'm seeing here. Amen. I like the fire.
Amen.
I like the fire. Praise God. You're Holy Spirit-filled people. If you're not, you can get filled with the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost this evening. If you need a renewal of the Holy Ghost, you can have a renewal of the Holy Ghost as we have prayer together here this morning. If you're not saved, you can get saved here this morning. God is in business. He's got some stuff for you. You can get in there and get what you need. God is ready to fill His people with a renewal of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That puts Him on the move and makes it happen. And you being full of the Spirit of God, when you speak His Word to others, and you don't have to do it like a preacher, raise your voice, just tell them about Jesus. Hallelujah. And show them the love of God. It'll grip their heart. You know, the night that I was saved, we went to that little Pentecostal church. I didn't know anything about preachers. And so the first time we went there, we had met a crisis. Our oldest boy got run over in front of our house by a car, and it rolled him over and over under the car, put a little spot of grease on the back of his little overalls, and never even took any skin off. Neighbor said, "Boy, that was sure luck." And we wasn't Christians. I said it wasn't luck, it was God. And I didn't know anything about God. But I learned pretty soon. So I immediately got the feeling these boys need to be in church. But you know who I was really worried about? Yeah, you're right. So I took my wife and our two little boys up to this little church on the other end of the block. Now, we lived on one end of the block. On the other end of the block was this little Pentecostal church. Her sister and husband, her older sister and her husband, they attended that church. And they'd come by and visit with us on Sunday evening, invite us to church, and I wasn't interested. They'd go on to church. But when we did decide to go to church, guess where we went? We went to a church where we'd been invited. Yeah. Yeah. Did you catch that message?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah. Tell them, come on over our church. The Lord is with us. The people are friendly. We got a great pastor and wife. We want you to meet them. Yeah. Come on over. Invite them.
Amen.
We never came until we met a crisis. But when we met a crisis, we went. And lo and behold, woman preacher. How about that? Reinhard Bonnke was questioned about having women on his staff. You're probably all familiar with him. He's a great evangelist in this day and time. And his response was, if someone was out in the swift water and they was in danger, and they hollered for help, and someone throwed them a life preserver, they wouldn't say, wait, was that a man or a woman?
That's right.
Ladies, God called you too.
Amen.
Called you too. And I think the greatest blessing He's given mankind in this world is mothers.
Amen.
You know, there's some men, I don't know, I'm getting off on other messages too, but there may be some men that think they can do anything a woman can do and do it better. I got a test for you. Have twins. If you pass that one, I got another test, okay? God wants to motivate the women. Wants to motivate the men. Well, I got so much to do. God made me the head of the home. No, He didn't. Not if you're a man. He made her the head of the home. He made you the head of the wife. She takes care of the home. Read about the virtuous woman in Proverbs, and you'll find that she's the one that took care of the house. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. He gave you a helper. Let her help. Okay. Now I'm getting into the marriage issue. Praise God, but that's part of life. Anyway, I got to get back to my message and finish the message here. Now, Caleb never lost confidence in himself that he could do what God wanted him to do and that God would be with him in what he did as long as he did it with the direction of the Lord on his life. He knew he was God's man, and you know that you're God's man. And you're God's woman. You know that He chose you. You might not know why, but you know that He chose you. I don't know why He chose me, but I know that He chose me. I don't know why He called me to preach the gospel. I wasn't a church kid. I didn't have any Bible experience. I don't remember ever opening the Bible to read it until after I was saved at the age of 22 years old. I guess because he wanted to make something out of nothing is why he chose me.
Yeah, me too.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it may seem like I'm not a whole lot yet, but I'm more than I was. Amen. Caleb knew he was God's man, and he knew God was with him. And you and I know that. He's with us. He's with us. He's with us. He's met with us this morning as we worship. Praise God. He might have sent a bunch of angels down to dance with us while we were worshiping this morning. I don't know, but I know one thing. He honored our worship. Caleb believed he could still do the job. I am unique. I'm almost 84 years old and still preaching. How come you're still preaching? Because I still believe I can do the job. Okay? You know, when I was just a young Christian, the Pentecostal Church of God in Wichita, Kansas, they was having a revival and they advertised it. They had a guy that was 80 years old was going to come and he was the evangelist. I wanted to go and see if a guy that old could still preach. He could. So that's encouraged me now. I'm almost four years older than he was. And I'm still preaching. God's still got something for you to do.
Yes.
He's got a job for you. He's got a partnership for you to walk with him in. And he chose you individually. Not as a crowd and picked you out and said, I think I'll take this one. He chose you individually. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you'd ask the Father in my name, he'd give it to you. Now, I've quoted that twice today, so I hope you got it. Amen.
Yeah.
He's chosen you. Praise the Lord. Now, God still knew where Caleb was, what he was thinking, how he felt. He knew God was with him. He believed he could still do the job. He knew the mountain was his last greatest victory. Now that mountain you've been struggling with, that could be your greatest victory today. Caleb exercised his faith. He initiated his action. You can think about things all you want to, and that's good and can be exciting. But if you want to get something done, exercise your faith. Initiate action. Put your hands to work. Put yourself into it. Caleb brought home the trophy. He went to the mountain. It did not come to him. He had to go to the mountain. It stayed right there. He had to go to the mountain to conquer it. Now, how did he conquer that? Well, you see, because of the unbelievers in the wilderness, God said, you're all going to die. Only the believers are going to live. So Caleb and Joshua were two of the 12. And they were still alive and the others were gone. Well, the old folks and the young folks getting along. Hey, Caleb, who's going to help you to conquer that mountain? Hey, young folks, how many of you are ready to go with me to conquer the mountain? I'll see them all standing up. You know, we need to make sure that we don't run our young people off.
Amen.
They got funny clothes. They got tattoos all over them. They got funny hairdos. But I want you to know they got a heart that God is able to touch and to reach and get a hold of them. They sing songs that we can't sing. I never could sing much anyway. I didn't have to. God always gave me folks that can handle that. Amen. You know, I've been invited to preach a lot of times. I've never been asked to lead worship. Okay? They heard me already. Caleb, who did he take to conquer that mountain? He took the young folks. Said, how many of you is ready to go with me to conquer this mountain? Stand up. And the crowd stood up.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Said, I want to be a part of the team. And he took them with him. Listen. When you find the courage to tackle your mountain, others will join you. They'll get on board with you. I want to find out where you found what you got because I want some of it for myself. Amen. Praise God. You're not going to run folks off by getting busy for God. You're not going to scare them out with the Pentecostal moving. Just like I said the night that we were saved. I hadn't been in many Pentecostal services. In fact, a total of none. Someone stood up and gave a message in a language that I did not understand. I'd heard that stuff happened, but I'd never seen it. Someone else stood up and told me what they said. And I remember the first part of it. Said, I've called, and you've rejected, and you've rejected. And I said, these people don't know me. They don't know anything about me. They couldn't have put that together. That had to be God.
Yeah.
I could hardly wait for my opportunity to go to that altar. And when the invitation was given, I told my wife, I'm going to that altar. You can do what you want to. She hit the other altar, and we both got saved that night.
Yeah.
You're not going to scare people away by being Pentecostal if you're real. Now, if you're trying to get recognition and you just want to do a performance, you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
But if you got the real thing, let it flow.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you got the real thing, let it flow. It won't scare people away. It didn't scare me away. It didn't scare me away. I got so hungry for that stuff immediately. You know, that's what makes him do that? I wanted some of that. Praise God. And I sought the Lord. I sought him so earnestly. I said, Lord, I'd give my right arm and go through life without my right arm if you'd give me the Holy Ghost. I told him I'd give my eyesight and go through life blind if you'd give me the Holy Ghost. He didn't want to make any bargains with me. He didn't want my arm. He didn't want my eyes. He wanted all of me. Yeah. And so, I'd pray. Every time an invitation was given, I'd hit that altar. Listen, keep praying till you get what you need from God. I'd hit that altar, and I'd get so frustrated, I'd say, I wish people would quit spitting on me, you know, those who were praying for me. Hello? Oh, I'm just telling it like it is, okay? But I'll tell you what, a little spit ain't gonna hurt you when you get what God has for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, give us the promise of the Father. He said, if I go away, I'll send you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So the pastor just let us all get involved. We all worshiped. He said, who wants to be in the choir? In other words, get up on the stage. We'd all get up there and get ready to worship. Wouldn't be nobody back here. We'd all be up there. We all got into it. Praise God. We were allowed to enter into the worship. It never run anybody off. Pentecostal move won't run people off. Jesus said to his disciples, don't leave Jerusalem till you receive the promise of the Father. When he, the Holy Ghost, has come, you will be witnesses unto me. Hallelujah. Well, so much for that. That's another message. Caleb exercised his faith and he initiated his action and he went to the mountain. It did not come to him. He went to the mountain. You're going to have to grab a hold of that mountain. And say, I'm going to conquer you today with the help of my Lord. There was great rejoicing because of the victory that was found. Caleb brought home the trophy. He said, how did you get that? Well, me and these young folks, we went and conquered my mountain. We conquered my mountain. Caleb led the way. It was his burden first, the mountain was. Now, he was a champion. He was a hero because he had conquered his mountain, and he had put something into the life of those young folks that volunteered to go with him that made a big difference in their life. Share what you got with others. Get them involved and see how it'll affect their lives. You will also be the champion and the hero when you conquer your mountain. God is with you when you move forward. He is waiting for you. He is ready today. Are you?
Yeah.
We're going to have prayer in a little bit. You'll be given, if you respond for prayer up here, you'll be given one of these prayer benefit cards. And I want to know what God is doing for you today. And if you write it down, it'll do something for you too. It'll help you. And be sure the cards get back to me. But we're going to pray together. I'm expecting God to perform some miracles today. I'm expecting Him to grab some mountains and throw them in the sea.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm expecting Him to do that. Because my ministry is to be a motivator, to motivate God's people. You know, I'll be gone after today, other places, preaching. But you'll be here using what God gave you today. He's got something for you. Now, I've never heard anyone else, preacher, say, I'm a motivator. But I say it without hesitation. I'm a motivator. God has made me to be a motivator. He's conditioned me for all these years to be a motivator. That's what I'm doing for God. That's why I'm here today. God wants to touch you. Now think about it. You don't have to worry about the mountain that was in the scripture today. Think about your mountain. And I want to encourage you to bring it this morning and just give it to the Lord and let Him give you a new touch. Let Him touch you this morning and give you what you need to conquer that mountain and leave here with the victory. Leave here being the champion. Leave here rejoicing because you have conquered your mountain. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for the moving of Your Spirit. We thank You for the presence of the Almighty God with us, Lord. And we thank You, Lord, for challenging us today, Lord, that You know about our mountain and You know what we need and You know how. You know how, Lord. You know how to help us, Lord, and to give us a victory over our mountain. And I pray, Lord, that You would really touch people as they come this morning. And You would make such a difference in their life, Lord, that they would be inspired like they haven't been inspired in a long time. They would be renewed, Lord, in You. And they would be renewed in the Holy Ghost, Lord. And if there be any here, Lord, that are not saved yet at this point, I pray that You would bring them into the kingdom through the new birth, Lord. You would bring them in to Your place, Lord. Oh God, that they might walk with You. Grant it to be so, Lord. Don't let a one leave here unsaved today if there's one that isn't saved yet. Oh God, and for Your people, Lord, pour out Your power upon them. Let the Shekinah glory of the Almighty rest upon them. Lord, and let victory come into their hearts and life that they know that they've got this morning, Lord. Oh God, walk with them while they conquer their mountain. In Jesus' name, amen.